Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst, from swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guesthouse overlooking the Pacific Ocean. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to support the conservation and restoration of Hearst Castle while offering youth programs for underserved students. Discover how you can become a member by going to foundation@hearstcastle.com and learn how you can support this unique and invaluable mission.
I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Leaper's Fork, Tennessee.
Hello, I'm Brooke Giannetti.
And I'm Steve Giannetti.
Welcome to Patina Home and Garden, our new store located in historic Leaper's Fork, Tennessee.
And last time I met up with you guys, you were in Ojai, California.
That's right.
This fall at Patina Farms.
Correct.
So the wagons went eastward.
Yes, they did. It's very different. We're having a whole new adventure here. Mm-hmm.
You had certain anticipations and expectations before you arrived here. Once you got here, what did you discover?
You know, we had the expectation that we were going to become part of this community when we decided to open up this store. What I was really surprised about is how many people, once they found out through our social media that we were going to be opening here, how many people would come and visit and want to be part of our community as well. So that was actually really surprising, how many people come in and say, oh my gosh, I've been following you forever. You know, I always wanted to come visit you in Ojai, but now you live closer to us and we can come visit you here. That was actually really surprising.
That was the main reason we moved, is to be able to have people visit. Because we couldn't do that in the other place, mm-hmm. but now people can come by and get a little taste of the Patina world.
Patina lifestyle.
But there's more to it than just that, because you could have found land somewhere in Southland, in mm-hmm. California, but you chose preference Tennessee. Talk to us about that allure and what made the big move.
Right, and it wasn't just Tennessee, although it's a beautiful state. Mm-hmm. It was actually this location, Leaper's Fork.
That, oh, wow, very specific.
It was very, very specific. Mm-hmm. It was the natural beauty and a very kind of creative, tight-knit community that we were drawn to, that was very open to us being here and being part of that community. That was also really unexpected, is how open they were to us coming. We didn't know what to expect in that respect either, but everybody was really, really open to us being here. And there seems to be a lot of like-minded people, a lot of creatives, a lot of people who just want to do what they want to do. And there's a lot of openness to that as well here.
Yeah, it's been really interesting. I mean, I think we fell in love with the natural beauty first, and then the friendliness of the people here. And that's really the mornings, the mist in the morning, even a beautiful rainstorm has really been fun. I mean, that's the part that's been really interesting. And then being able to go see live music and, you know, still have good restaurants nearby and live a country lifestyle very close to a big city.
It really is best of both, because it might as well be 500 miles to Nashville from where we're at now. And I think that's what got me, too, about Leaper's Fork, is that tranquility and that timelessness and the historic architecture.
It's like an old town from the turn of the century, or even parts of the buildings that are here in town are from the mid-1800s. Mm-hmm. You get this sense of the history of the place, and a kind of a walking village, because people will park like right outside of the village and then they'll walk to all the shops. Mm-hmm. And we just became another shop in the destination. It's not like you're in a strip mall where somebody parks right in front of you.
Right.
You're in this little village. You know, we become part of that experience. You know, one other little cog in the wheel of visiting the countryside.
And, you know, we came here in the fall, and the fall was absolutely beautiful, and the weather was just, you know, in the 70s and lovely, and we opened up our doors, and we really wanted to be a place where people could slow down and just experience Leaper's Fork. There's something, what were they calling it?
Slow tourism.
This idea that you just kind of slow down and really experience what is unique about this place. Mm-hmm. And so we opened up our back porch, which overlooks Leaper's Creek, and we created our farm shop, and we had local food from this great food truck called Hen House. And
we met him the other day.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, Napa Valley.
Yeah. So he's here too, Nick and Jada.
That is so cool.
And we love their kind of fresh farm-to-table fare, and so they've been doing some grab-and-go items for us, and in the fall, it was really great because you could sit outside, and now we've kind of focused on their soups, that people can take to go. But it was this idea that you could come here, and we've kind of light the fire in our front garden, and hopefully give people a place to, you know, just sit and enjoy a couple minutes in Leaper's Fork.
Experiencing what we loved about Tennessee. So we're sitting right now in the Picker's Corner, which is kind of like the living room of the store, with old vintage guitars on the wall that people come in and play. And you will occasionally just be in the store, and just, you'll all of a sudden hear something pretty amazing coming from the Picker's Corner. So that's been really fun to see, have like world-class musicians come in and play. And
literally world-class.
Yeah, literally world-class people. So that's been really fun. And like Brooke said, having that back porch experience that you can get in Tennessee, looking, you know, sitting on the porch and looking over a creek. Mm-hmm. So all these little moments, we're just trying to kind of share it with people who are either from Nashville and don't have a little spot like this in the country, or people who are just visiting from out of town somewhere.
But you guys are multidimensional. Here you are talking about being a shopkeeper. You're a designer. You're an architect. You guys are visionaries. So how has your brain antennas shifted and morphed now that you're here?
That's so funny because, you know, we bought land for ourselves here, 100 acres. It has a 1850s log cabin on the property. Right. And we always had this idea that we were going to build a house. We were going to renovate the cabin, mm-hmm. keep what was original, renovate what had been added on to, and live there while we built a house up on the hill. Even the house up on the hill, as we've lived here, had changed. You know, it became looked more like Leaper's. You know, it started to really be influenced by our experience here. And then when we actually moved into the log cabin, we realized that place was pretty special. And to move into a place with almost 200 years of history in the walls, that we realized that we weren't going to build a house at all, that we were actually going to live in this log cabin probably for the rest of our lives.
Oh, cool.
And
maybe a little pop out here and there.
Well, yeah.
It's not that little.
How big is it?
It's 1,800 square feet. So it's pretty tiny. But it's mostly like a one-bedroom house with a little loft on it.
Right.
We just love the idea of being part of that history over a long period of time. We thought that would be really cool. And then we're building another, like a Tennessee barn that looks exactly like all the barns you see in the countryside. Mm-hmm. But it'll have a couple of bedrooms for guests and a larger kind of event space when Brooke gives classes, or when we have, you know, more people over than can fit in the barn, and have a place for Layla to stay and do her pottery and give her classes and all that kind of thing.
That's really cool. But again, you guys, creatives, visionaries, what epiphanous things have popped into your mind? Just even walking around town, something that you might apply in your design skill.
What you get that you don't get when you first come to a place is you get a sense of the sort of historical types of architecture. And whenever anybody moves to a new place, it makes sense to just look at all the stuff that was built pre-1900 and take your inspiration from that. You know, you're looking at how are roofs done? How are gardens done? You know, how do little old barns look? Where do people grow vegetables? How does all this stuff connect to your daily life? Because the people back in the olden time, before electricity, they had a way to adapt to the natural climate in a way that we can overpower with air conditioning, technology. With technology. And so what you want to do if you want to live close to nature is you want to understand living closer to the natural world in a way that looking at old stuff will give you clues to how that all comes together. And to realize that you want something that has a little bit of patina on it. You know, we built our house using old wood. There was an old barn that was falling down, and we saved all the wood and used it for the doors in the house and for the floors in my loft. You know, we built a new, smaller barn out of the old parts of the barn.
For our animals.
For the animals. But, you know, the barn was built out of old tree trunks with the bark still on it.
Wow.
So seeing how the old stuff was built really informs the new stuff. So it feels like it's part of this place in the history.
And you have endless possibilities for harvesting and finding authentic historic remnant, old barns or whatever, across the state.
When we were looking for stuff, he would say, yeah, this barn came from 20 miles away in Thompson Station, so we got all the wood from that to make like all the wood on our house, all the exterior wood. And, you know, there's local mills that make all this great lumber, and they'll help with some of the pieces for the new barn. So all of that's been really cool. And even just trying to get used to how you deal with a stream, and we have a little creek in the front of our house, and how you deal with a whole new palette of planting when you're building gardens. That's been really interesting. And basically, instead of walking around a neighborhood like we used to in Ohio on the asphalt, our daily walks are back up in the 100 acres, just along streams up a little valley up into the back of our property.
Back to the professional side of both of you. You as an interior designer, and he as an architect. Is that still part of your portfolio?
Absolutely. I never went to school to become an interior designer, so...
And again, I need to interrupt, because we talked about this before. You're an interior-exterior designer.
Yes.
You know, it's...
Right.
It's like that whole flow.
Right.
Yeah,
and I think it's because I didn't go to school with it, so there are no boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I can't not be that, because it's just part of who I am. You know, even when people come into the store and they'll tell me what they're looking for or what their room is like, and they're wondering, can I help them put together a couple of things for their house?
Mm-hmm.
It's just something I do automatically. It's even, you know, putting together this store. I mean, on a daily basis, I am decorating this store, because every day merchandise goes out, pieces go out, and I have to recreate the spaces.
Wow.
So it's a lot of fun. It's
space.
Very fluid.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun, and it's very creative, because I can just imagine things. There's not the client who has, you know, their input. It's very kind of just me doing what I would imagine I love to do, you know, or I want to see. So that's really a lot of fun. But so I will always be a designer, and I design for people, and we still have clients, and I still am doing work with clients. So I can't imagine it would ever change.
Mm-hmm. But you're also trying to be support for a design community in the area. Now that we have a store that has great pieces in it and stuff. And you get people coming in all the time that want that piece or this piece or, you know, that and accessories. So that's part of what we're trying to do. She's like expanding, because we didn't really have that much of a setup.
Mm-hmm.
And we have all the pieces online and a lot of pictures and certain items from the store online that you can buy if you're not here.
And how about, Steve, your architectural world?
Yeah, well, we've been doing a lot of stuff in town. I've got a bunch of projects going on. But again, it's everything from remodeling a 1880 dairy barn into an event space to doing a few new houses from scratch. It's been interesting, because you just dive into the history of the place and try to figure out how to understand this new world that you've dropped yourself into. You're not in California anymore.
Yeah, no kidding. How cool. A little bit more about what you're most proud of, what you're most deeply involved in now, and how you want to evolve. Or is it more just kind of fluid day by day?
I think we've been spending a lot of time kind of just meeting people, you know, having a lot of people come into the store. You know, we came here, we opened the store October 15th, and then went right into the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
For retail, that's a very intense time to open. So right now, we've been really, really focusing on the store and helping people through their holidays and seeing how we can help them find the perfect gifts or decorate for the holidays and things like that. I think things will calm down a little bit in January, and that's when we are really going to start to focus on education, on connecting to the community and that.
Exactly.
We're going to start out kind of with smaller offerings, I believe.
What would be some of the thematic?
Well, we want to do things like bulb forcing and things that I never really learned to do growing up in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. You know, we've met these great beekeepers, and to understand what goes into that and do forest walks and learn about what is just growing naturally, whether it's on our land, which is one thing that Layla is very interested in, is doing forest walks in our forest.
A bunch of mushrooms.
Yeah, we just went this morning and discovered all kinds of oyster mushrooms just growing, and turkey tail and all of that, and understanding which ones are okay to eat and how to prepare them, and making different tinctures out of them, not just the mushrooms but also different medicinal plants that grow in this area. So those are kind of the classes I'm going to be focusing on in the beginning, but I want to do floral arranging. I want to do, you know, just
decorate a table.
Yes, exactly. Right. Different ways to be inspired by nature of what grows in this area and how to bring that inside or into your life. So yeah, so that's I think where we're going to start.
And any perfect number of students in the class?
I want it to feel like people can not be intimidated to participate. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to start them with, you know, like a dozen or less, and just really have them be very intimate. I always feel more comfortable in settings like that. So it's almost like getting together with a few friends.
Mm-hmm. And then what am I excited about? It's interesting to see Patina Meadow come together. You know, as we finished the house and now we're really working on the gardens and putting all that together, and we're going to be building a couple of greenhouses, really figuring out how to grow our own produce. And I have this dream of, like, we had created it in Ojai, but to be completely self-sufficient on the land and almost like a prepper. You know, have our own water, have our own power, have everything, be able to take these walks and have a real compound and make everything look like it could have been done in the 1850s. There's something about, like, going back and living that life that's really interesting to me. And a couple of the new projects that I've taken on, people have that same desire. Have something that feels like it's old, but has some of the modern amenities, but just connects to this place in its own unique way.
You guys are so blessed. You know that.
We know every day there's a lot of gratitude that's going on behind the scenes, because we are very fortunate to be able to explore our dreams, you know?
And so you've managed to block out Ojai and no regrets, no missing.
You know, it was interesting because we sold our house, and then the people who bought it were kind enough to let us stay for over 6 months while
we had a ramp down.
Yeah. We did have a ramp down, and I really told myself every morning when we woke up in Ojai to appreciate, because Ojai is one of the most beautiful places in the world as well, and we appreciated every pink moment sunset, every foggy morning, every beautiful 75 degree no humidity day that we had. And I really,
that was nice.
Yes, that was nice. And I think we both made it a priority to really experience that
savor.
Yes, so that when it was over, we wouldn't have any regrets that we kind of rushed through that time to get to another.
Well, you were there quite a long time.
Yeah, about 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a lot of time there, and it was fun. But, you know, once you kind of look forward to a new adventure instead of looking back to what happens. We're not big on
nostalgia.
Well, other than old houses.
Right.
But just like,
yeah,
we don't really have a lot of pictures around or anything like that of the past times.
Yeah.
We're more like living in the moment, trying to always create the next cooler thing.
Do you think part of that, you just hit it on the head, that you're both creatives, you're both visionaries and designers, so you're always looking forward to the next challenge?
Yeah, I think we both live about a year in the future because we imagine everything done. Like, I drive up to our house and I see the barn finished and all the gardens finished, and I know Brooke does too. And it's just, you're just trying to will it into existence. And, you know, I'm not really ever nostalgic for the past times, mm-hmm. but sometimes I'm nostalgic for the future because I see it so clearly in my head. And you kind of want to get there, but you have to realize it makes sense to do the slow tourism thing in your own life too, and just
enjoy the process
and just sort of live a little bit in the moment rather than kind of wishing it to happen too soon.
Well, you guys are like the never-ending story in that I'm going to look forward to coming back in a few months and check up and see how it's evolved.
We'll have you over to the cabin.
I'd love to see that.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. We're excited to share that with you.
To learn more about your world, where would you direct us?
Well, you can check out our new website, which is patinahomeandgarden.com. We also have our Instagram. That's the same name, Patina Home and Garden. Mm-hmm. Also, if you want to learn more about our life on Patina Meadow, I have my own Instagram. That's at Velvet and Linen.
I don't have any of that. I just let her do it all. I'm dark.
And if you're in the Nashville area and you wanted to come out here,
absolutely.
How would you get here?
4149.
Yes, come visit us in historic Leaper's Fork, Tennessee. Technically, it's in Franklin, but this little area is called Leaper's Fork. Our address is 4149 Old Hillsboro Road.
Awesome.
My name is Brooke Gianetti.
And I'm Steve Gianetti.
And thank you so much, Tom, for visiting us here at Patina Home and Garden.
Always a pleasure. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Leaper's Fork, Tennessee. We'll see you here.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst, from swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guesthouse overlooking the Pacific Ocean. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to support the conservation and restoration of Hearst Castle while offering youth programs for underserved students, preserving the past and inspiring future generations of dreamers. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle, STEAM, along with studying the legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture. The foundation at Hearst Castle not only changes the lives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors and members. Discover how you can become a member by going to foundation@hearstcastle.com and learn how you can support this unique and invaluable mission. You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York, and in fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.